بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Our respected guest, Maulana Muhammad Nisa Tamim Barakatuhum, started his speech with the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. And he read the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي. Person who revives the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of fitna, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the virtue which he will inshallah elaborate and elucidate in his speech later on. Then he initiated his speech by saying that this is a great favor and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that he gave us tawfiq and ability to come to his house and carry out a great obligation in the form of Fajr Salah. And he mentioned that this is such a great blessing. It comes in the hadith that the person who sleeps at night and who tries to wake up in the morning, and at that time Shaitan comes and he tries his utmost best to stop this person from waking up and going for Fajr Salah. And he says that Shaitan urinates in a person's ear when he does not wake up for Fajr Salah. This is why he says that it comes in the hadith that Shaitan says to this person when he tries to wake up that عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ, that you have a long night, you sleep and rest, don't wake up and go for Fajr Salah and go for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that the person who does not wake up and he does not go for Fajr Salah, Shaitan urinates in his ears. And some of our pious predecessors, they have mentioned that if somebody wants to see, then he can actually test and assess this, and he will find some kind of moist in his ears. This is the urine of Shaitan. There are also other interpretations of mentioned by the Muhaddithin, but this is one interpretation which our respected guest has mentioned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sadiq and masduq. Whatever emanated from his blessed tongue has to be true. Something we can comprehend or we cannot comprehend, we have to believe, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us something. So he says that he told us that Shaitan urinates. So we have to believe whether we understand it or not. And he says that it comes in the hadith that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading salah at the time of solar eclipse. And at that time, while performing salah, in his salah, he advanced forward and then he moved back. After the salah, the sahaba inquired that, O Nabi Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we saw you doing something which we haven't seen before. That you advanced forward, then you came back. He said to the companion that while I was performing salah, Jannah was made open in front of me. So I took a few steps forward because I could see the bounties and the blessings of Jannah, and I saw grapes of Jannah. So I wanted to take some grapes and give it to my ummah. But then simultaneously, I had this thought that if I am able to grasp these grapes and pass it on to my ummah until the day of judgment, this will suffice every single person who will come and set foot upon the surface of this earth. But one thing will not be there, which is Iman Bilghayb. They will not have Iman on unseen, which is the demand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to see us bringing Iman upon Him without us seeing His bounty and blessing. Because we are told that there is Jannah, we cannot see Jannah. We are told that you will receive this and this bounty and blessings in Jannah. We cannot see with our eyes. We cannot really comprehend many times. But we still believe. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Prophet, told us, if the Ummah receives this blessing of Jannah, then the Iman will not be Iman on unseen, because they already saw the bounties of Jannah. So he wanted to keep their Iman intact. This is why he did not do that. And then he says that Jahannam was made open in front of me. due to the torment and the punishment of Jahannam, I move back a little. So he says that the things he can see, we cannot see. So when he says something to us, when he conveys something to us, we need to believe. And then he says that at the time of Fajr Salah, there are angels who are participating in this Salah. Because it is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the angels are distributed into two groups who are responsible for protecting and for other responsibilities of this world. The angels who are here in at night, they will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels who are responsible for the things of the daytime, they also descend from the heavens. And both groups attend Fajr Salah. After the completion of Fajr Salah, the angels who are doing the night shift, they will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will ask them that you just came from the world, how did you left my servant? In what state did you left my servant? The angels will say that we have left your servant while performing salah. They have just fulfilled a great obligation that you have placed upon them, meaning Fajr Salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will express his happiness, and Allah will guarantee his pleasure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guarantee success for those people. And he says that the angels, when they participate in the Fajr Salah, they also make dua. And he says that we cannot see, but they are present in this gathering as well, and they are making dua for the person who comes and performs Fajr Salah. And they make dua that the person who have performed Fajr Salah, who Allah grant barakah and blessings in the person's sustenance and his rizq. And the person who did not perform Fajr Salah, Allah don't grant barakah in his rizq. And then he mentioned that what is barakah? Many times we feel that barakah means to have something in abundance. That's called barakah. First you have $100, now you have $1,000. So we feel that this is barakah. He says that the true mafhum and the meaning of barakah is that due to having that blessing, a person feels a sense of satisfaction and peace and tranquility within himself. This is the true meaning of sukoon. This is the true meaning of barakah and blessing. This is why he said that some people will have $2, but they will be content. This is called barakah. Another person has $1,000,000, but he does not have that peace and tranquility. This person does not have barakah in his life. So the true meaning and the essence of barakah is that a person has peace and tranquility. He says that nowadays, if you look around, many people, they are looking for peace, and they resort to different kinds of things. People go to casino and they gamble so they can acquire more and more money. Some people go to clubs, some people resort to consuming alcohol, taking drugs, abusing different kinds of evil substances. Why do they do that? In order to look for peace and tranquility. He says that these things will not bring peace to anyone, because it is the declaration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran that Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. There is only one thing that can bring peace and tranquility to a human being, to the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the remembrance of Allah. That is the dhikrullah. Different kinds of dhikrullah. This is the only thing. The obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only thing which can bring peace to every human and every servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he stressed upon the fact that this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he gave us tawfiq to come to his house and perform salah with jama'ah, Fajr Salah. And then he mentioned one hadith. As he was mentioning the hadith, he mentioned the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us fail to pray durood. So as on the side note, he mentioned a hadith saying that we should not be stingy in sending salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he says that it comes in the hadith, the person who does not send durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person is the biggest miser and he is the biggest bakhil. And he says, the person who does not send salutations upon me on the day of judgment, I will not intercede on that person's behalf. So we should try to convey salawat on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam each time we hear his name. And then he mentioned the hadith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that on the day of judgment, people will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba inquired that how will we be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will there not be so much crowd and pushing and so much crowd that we will not be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example that in this world we see sun rising and we see moon rising. And when people see it, there is no crowd, there is no rush, there is no congestion. People are in their houses and everybody can see the sun and the moon with a lot of ease. This will be the condition in the hereafter as well, that people will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of ease.
The Shaykh continued by mentioning hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, and he says that after we pass away, we will be resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be reckoned on the day of judgment. So he says that if we will be reckoned, should we not clear our lives? He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, he says that when we are reckoned, we will be reckoned for everything. For the ilm Allah has granted us, for the wealth Allah has given us, for the life Allah has given us, for the vigor of youth that Allah has given us, the strength of youth and young age Allah has given us. Allah will reckon us for all these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To substantiate this, he mentioned a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that once Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was making wudu, but he was using more water than how much he should be using. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will be questioned with regards to water as well. So he questioned that even something which is so insignificant, something we find in abundance, something like water, will be questioned on the day of judgment if we are extravagant in water. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that yes, you will be questioned for everything. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ عَلَىٰ نَهْرٍ جَارٍ, even if you were sitting on a bank of a flowing river and you were using more water than how much you should be using, even then you will be questioned on the day of judgment. From this, he stressed upon this fact that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us for something like water, then what would be the condition of our life and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? So he says that we should value everything. And whatever he has given us, we should try to use it in the correct manner. He says that it comes in the hadith that three kinds of people will be called, will be summoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, the mujahid, the person who does qital and who fights in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be called. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, that, what did you do? What have you bring for me? So he will say that, oh Allah, you gave me this life, you gave me strength. I used it in your path and I tried to fight in your path and give dominance to your deen. And I gave my life as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you are lying. You did not do this for my pleasure. You did not do this to gain my proximity and my closeness. You did this so people say that how brave this person is, that he is fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you did this for name and fame. So he says that this is the first category of people who will be summoned in the court of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call an alim, a scholar, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with ilm and knowledge. He will ask him, what did you do with your knowledge? He will say that I used to spread the knowledge of Quran and the hadith. I used to go around, give speeches and talks and lectures. And I tried my best to pass on this knowledge to as many people as possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, no, you are lying. You did all this so people say that you are an amazing lecturer, an amazing speaker, you are allama and you are the most knowledgeable person of our time. So you did this for name and fame. So stretching upon this, the Shaykh mentioned that this is something extremely scary. We tend to not pay heed towards these things.
Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this occasion will not be so easy. He says that every person will be frightened on that day. Even the Anbiya, the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, the group who is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even they will be shivering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likes of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, etc. Even they will be scared and fearful from the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is the case with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, what is going to happen with us who are very ordinary in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we should really pay heed towards such ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third category of people who will be summoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the people who are generous, who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. He says that when this person is resurrected, or these people are resurrected, Allah will say that, what did you bring? They will say that, oh Allah, you grant us wealth, and we use this wealth in your cause. We used to spend a lot excessively in order to please you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them that, no, you are lying. You did not do this for my pleasure. You did this, so people say that, oh, what a generous person. So you did this for name and fame. All three categories of people, their sacrifices and whatever they did will not be considered a sacrifice in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to not having sincerity and ikhlas. So when a person does something, he should do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should try to inculcate the real concern of the hereafter and try to make use of every single blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, Allah has bestowed upon him. And then he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to us. Allah has bestowed many, many blessings upon us, but it is the weakness of us human beings, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not ponder over these blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that as an example, I will mention a few things. So he mentioned one incident from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He says that he has mentioned that if you ever ponder over your condition, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that when you consume food or drink, there is only one pathway, only one way you can consume something. You can eat something, you can drink something. But when it comes out of your body, there are two paths. There is the front part and the back part. So he says that why is it that when you are taking something in your body, there's only one path, and when that same thing is coming out of your body, there are two different paths. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that this is also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that if there was only one path for the food to come out of the body, then continuously a liquid would emanate from a person's body, and hence he would remain in the state of impurity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us by saying that, oh my servant, I do not want to keep you in the state of impurity. So I have created two pathways, so it's easy for you to stay in the state of purity. So this is the first example he gave. And then the second example, he says that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that when a human eats and the morsel goes in his mouth, he chews this morsel. And after chewing the morsel, the food goes into his stomach. But there are two paths inside. One path is for breathing and one is for food. Through breathing, a person can breathe in and breathe out. And from the other pathway, the food goes in. So the both pathways are linked together. And when one is open, the other one is closed. So he says that when the food is going in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of taking this food in the pathway of breathing. And we will be suffocated and we will not be able to breathe. But Allah does not do that. He blocks that pathway so the food can easily go through the pathway of food and it goes directly in the stomach. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says that this is also a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he does this with us. The third example he gave was that if you ponder over milk, that milk comes out from the body of an animal. But before it comes out, with the milk, there are three things. There is blood, there is urine, and there is also filth. But in the midst of these three kinds of filth, a pure milk comes out and we're able to drink this milk. So if we just ponder over one glass of milk, we will be able to conclude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does exist, and look at the qudrat and the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's able to do this. And He says that if we ponder over the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many, we will never be able to do it. He says that during the pandemic, when the corona was on its peak, He says that in many places I mentioned in my lectures, He says that in this country, hospitals and medication is free, the treatment for these viruses was free. But in many countries, the third world countries, they had to pay 15,000, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 rupees or whatever the currency is. So He says that I mentioned in my lectures at that time that look, people are not able to breathe, and due to not having oxygen, they're having to pay so much. They're having to pay so much, yet we do not ponder the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that up to now, some of us are 40, some of us are 50, some are 60, some are 70, some are 80, and 80 plus some of us. Up to now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so kind to us that He gave us this oxygen and ability to breathe for free without charging a single penny. Yet, we were not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that we should try to become the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are two types of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that a person thanks a person or a being with his tongue and his words. And one is that he uses that blessing in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to use it in. So by merely saying that, oh Allah, I'm thankful to you for blessing me this blessing and this bounty, is not sufficient. You have to use that blessing in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use it in. So He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings, so we should try to use these blessings in the correct manner. If Allah has given you wealth, use this wealth in the correct manner with the correct intention. If Allah has given you ilm, knowledge, use it in the correct manner. Allah has given us other blessings. If a person is deprived of these great blessings, that if even if a person was to ponder over his body, then all his limbs, they are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he needs to use in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should not misuse his eyes. He should not misuse his tongue. He should not misuse his brain and his intellect. He should not misuse his hands. He should not misuse his feet. And he should try his utmost best to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live a life of complete obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from all kinds of disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The Shaykh continued by saying that the Allah who had favored us, the same Allah says إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that those people who say that our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are steadfast upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that this iman which Allah has given us is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not move away from this blessing of iman. And he says that the wealth of this world should not take us away from iman. And this invitation of evil should not take us away from iman. And we should stay firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that the times are extremely testing at this moment in time. He says that a while back I was attending a lecture of a sheikh in Haram Sharif. He says that while I was attending, I heard the sheikh mention that this ummah, it has become so greedy that nowadays they even sell the deen, they sell Quran, they sell the iman, due to this small dunya. He says that this should not happen. And he mentioned the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that shayyabatni hudun wa akhawatuha, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Surah Hud and the surah like Surah Hud, they have made me old. So he says that the muhaddithin write, why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
say this, تَشَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. One reason was that there is a lot of punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these chapters, in these surahs. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that due to the concern for the hereafter and due to being fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I became old due to these chapters. And the second reason they mentioned is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, he mentioned that there is one verse in Surah Uhud which is making me old, and that verse is فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that stay steadfast as you have been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so heavy and burdensome for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that this has made me old. شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. He says that Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has written a commentary of the Qur'an, tafsir of the Qur'an, Ruh al-Ma'ani. In his tafsir he says that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very pious and righteous. He was already steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why would he have so much concern? He says that the real concern was for not for his own self. The concern was for the ummah. The concern was for the ummah, that my ummah will have to practice upon this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show steadfastness upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to having that fikr and concern, he says that this was taking a toll upon me and it's making me old. شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, once a person came to him and he said that he stayed in his company for a very long time. And after that he said, Sheikh, I ask for your permission to leave. The Sheikh asked that, why are you planning on leaving? Did you not benefit in this environment? He said, yes, I did benefit, but I did not really see any miracle in your company. So the Sheikh, he said to him that, what do you mean you did not see any miracle? Did you see any of my actions contrary to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did you not see my life upon the path of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this not the greatest karamat and greatest miracle you want to see? So he stressed upon this that the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something of utmost importance. He says that our pious predecessors, they would try to carry out every small sunnah. And us, our condition has become such that we say that, oh, it's only a sunnah. It's only a sunnah, it's a small sunnah. What difference is it going to make if I don't carry out this small sunnah? No, this should not be our approach. Our approach should be that it's a sunnah. It's a sunnah. We should give so much importance to even a small and minute sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh, it's a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I have to carry it out. Not brush it aside, thinking that it's only a sunnah. And then he mentioned that Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was in his last stages, and his disciples came, and they made him make wudu. So while making wudu, they forgot to do khilal, which is sunnah in wudu. So after the completion of wudu, he became a bit angry and he said to them that, can you make me do wudu again? So they said that, we already made wudu. He said, no, we did not do khilal. They said, it's only a sunnah. He became even more angry and he said that it's only a sunnah, but it is due to these small sunnah I have reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the disciples said that, what difference is it going to make if you omit one small sunnah in this state of yours? He said that it is due to these small sunnahs I have reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you expect me to leave that same sunnah in this state while I'm leaving from this world? I will not leave a single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make me do wudu again. So he made the entire wudu again. He says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati, the person who revives one, who revives my sunnah in the time of test and tribulation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person reward equivalent to 100 shaheed and martyrs in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the great virtue and great glad tidings and good news mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that, of course, we are weak servants of Allah. We should try to carry out every sunnah as much as possible. We should try to stay steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned a hadith that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the companions that if you leave out 10% of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be questioned and punished by Allah. But later on, before the day of judgment, a time will come when if people were to stay steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only 10%, or only 10% of deen they can bring into their life, even then they will gain salvation in the hereafter. So we are living in that era. If we are able to bring in small amount of deen in our life, inshallah, that should also be sufficient, provided that we are humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we continue to try and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that this is what is mentioned in the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, those people who bring iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say that Allah is our Lord and then they stay steadfast upon this deen of Allah. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. At that time, at the time of their death, the angels descend and they give glad tidings to this person that you will not have any fear and no grief and you will pass away from this world and take glad tidings of that Jannah which you were being promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the verses of the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are reminded over and over again, if you do this action, you will gain Jannah. If you do this, if you carry out this action, you will get Jannah in Akhirah. And a person is passing away, when such person is leaving this world, the angels are descending from the heavens and telling this person that take good glad tidings of that Jannah which you used to be promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says that for such people, there will be hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nuzulam min ghafoorir raheem. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the host and we will be Allah's guest. And he says that usually hospitality depends on the person who is hosting the guest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. So can you imagine the hospitality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says that the angels say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your companions. We were your companions in this world and we will be your companions in the Akhirah. And نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ, hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And showing the greatness of the hospitality of those individuals who are great themselves, he mentioned one example by saying that Hatim Taib, he was very generous. He came before the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very generous. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give his example over and over again. Once a person came to him asking him for a small amount of money, maybe 2 dirhams, maybe more. So this Hatim Taib gave him something in abundance, maybe 100, 200. So people said, he only asked for 2 and you gave him 100. He said, he asked according to his state and his condition. I gave according to my condition. So we ask, we are weak. When we ask for small things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. When he gives in abundance. According to his shan and according to his majesty and his power and his might. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hospitality, we cannot even comprehend while living in this world. And then he says that, in every circumstances of a person's life, he should try to remain steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if the times are rough and tough and a person is going through an evil patch in his life, even then he should not leave the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should he should hold firm to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that many people, they attach the worship and the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the condition of their life. And they tend to say that I perform salah, I'm very punctual with my salawat, I'm very punctual with recitation of the Quran, I do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I spend in the path of Allah. Despite that, I see that I'm going through this calamity, this adversity, this atrocity in my life. Why is this happening to me? Because I'm worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh mentioned that we should not attach the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these conditions of life. Because in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a portion of Jannah, and Allah has kept a portion of Jahannam as well. In this life, you will have good phases, and you will also have bad phases. In the good phase, you should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the bad phase, exercise patience and be firm and steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned that there are a lot of virtues with regards to iman. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, when he comes back, inshallah, we'll try to elaborate more on the virtues of iman. And then he mentioned that from amongst the many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has bestowed upon us, this institution, this masjid, this organization is also a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which we should show gratitude for. And he said that we should try to participate in the gatherings that take place in this masjid and all the activities that are taking place in whatever capacity you are able to contribute towards this cause, you should try to contribute. And then he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he mentioned that man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that if a person was to build a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a house for him in Jannah. So he mentioned that again, when we do something, we do it according to our capability. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something, Allah does it according to His capability. So we build a small house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to build an entire masjid or entire organization. Whatever small we are able to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contribute, even $5, $1. But if it is done with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will make a huge palace for us in Jannah. Because he mentioned that every action we carry out, it's a usul and principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. You carry out one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward by tenfold. 10 times more, you gain reward for that action. So you build something in this world, Allah will give you 10 times more. But that is according to the number of that action or that thing. So Allah will give you 10 houses. But in quality, we cannot even comprehend how big these houses and these palaces will be in Jannah. So we should try to contribute towards these good causes as much as possible. And then he showed his gratitude towards Mufti Sahib and the entire gathering for giving him the opportunity to come here. And he says that inshallah he will try his best to come over and over again and bless us with his words of wisdom, inshallah.